Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's hour number two here. Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7. The game from Kalen Azubuike, we go to the man that really stole the show inside Chase Center on Saturday night. Aaron Showtime Taylor, the guest public address announcer for the ball game against the Rockets on Saturday. It's a pleasure to be joined by him right now here on 95.7 The Game. Aaron, thanks a lot for coming on. We really appreciate it. And my goodness, you could tell everybody was into your call on the PA on Saturday night. Just how much of a special moment was that for you?
Oh, man, it's... We talking about a 26-year journey inside a prison and then 6 months to get there. You know, it's not something I expected to happen that fast. However, you know, like I said in the interview, when Dub Nation get crackolating, I get crackolating, you know. And I had a ball, man, you know, 55 years old. I'm feeling like a kid again, you know.
Showtime, I had to hold back a thug tear Saturday, me, the wife, and my son, watching you just, your beautiful words. I mean, you just, you own that moment, and I appreciate you sharing your journey with us. But my question to you, Showtime, is in the streets or just society, we always hear about the Michael Jordans that didn't make it, that got caught up with street life per se, and I'm just right. Wondering, How much talent, basketball talent, hoopers have you seen in your days in San Quentin?
I'm going to answer that question this way, and I hope you'll be able to appreciate what I'm getting ready to say. I'm a play-by-play announcer. That's what I do for 26 years in prison. And if you think I'm great, imagine the people that I called basketball for. Mm. There were many people who made that left turn instead of the right, who was in the back seat of the car instead of staying home that night, who actually went out and committed the crime, you know, or maybe it was their second or third crime or had a drug problem. You know, there's many people in the streets that we can talk about from Los Angeles to San Diego to Oakland, Frisco, Sacramento, and all the cities in between where there was that one guy who had this great potential in basketball, but he just couldn't let the drugs go. You know, he just couldn't just not be away from the gangsters. And he ended up on a yard where I was at. And I had the pleasure to do play-by-play for an individual like that, or actually a court full of people like that. So if you think I'm good at play-by-play, just imagine the people I was doing play-by-play for.
I mean, it's just an incredible story. As a play-by-play person behind bars, how did your act, quote-unquote, evolve? Because, you know, if you're doing what you do and you're calling the games, but you're also trying to inject a little bit of personality, how were you able to kind of grow your brand in that setting?
Well, I had a little bit of a reputation with my hands when I first came in, you know, when I got arrested. And then I was a former gangbanger as well. So not only did I could protect myself personally, but also had people around me that just generally liked me, you know. And once I stepped to the basketball court, we're playing half court 4-on-4. And so I got the basketball pole behind me, nothing else, and just prayers that nobody's coming up behind me to do nothing to me. Right. And in front of me, I have an awesome game taking place. And I use my street rep and I use my prison rep to make sure that people knew not to mess with me. But like I said, I had a lot of guys that just really generally liked me and loved me and loved what I was doing. And so it didn't matter how tough you was and it didn't matter how good your game was. When you stepped on that court and Showtime's calling the game, you're not supposed to take what he's saying personal. And if you get caught up with what he's saying personal, then that means you're not playing the type of game that you should be playing. And thankfully, again, I go back to what I said a moment ago. I've called games for some of the best basketball players that the world will never know about. You know, there's one person in particular I want to name. He's Oakland, street Oakland. His name is Mike Franklin. And I had the pleasure not only to coach Mike on my basketball team that made it to the finals, but we lost inside of San Quentin. But I have the opportunity to call this guy just an associate and a friend of mine, because I also called games that he played against the Golden State Warriors when they came in. And if you know Mike Franklin, and if you're from the town, you know who I'm talking about. Mike is one of the best basketball players the world never knew about. Never knew about. And this dude was full all-around game. Everything you could ask for, he did. And so it's guys like that and the situations like I just described that helped me become the person that I became.
Aaron Showtime Taylor joining us here on 95.7 The Game. You talk about, you know, calling some of the games with the best players that nobody knows about, but Saturday you got to call one of the players that everybody knows about, an all-time great, it's Stephen Curry. How special – I'm interested in the prep and getting ready for how you're going to intro the guys. And, you know, each game has its own rhythm to it. And the PA voice in an arena can have an impact on the game at keeping the vibe right. And it was clear that the players were digging it from, you know, before the game and the intros and everything. So I'm curious just about the prep and kind of taking us through the moment of the 2+ hours of the game. And then what did it mean to have Steph come over after the ball game and you're able to do the interview with him? I mean, for all the dudes, like you say, that you've seen, to have that dude be, you know, right there next to you. I mean, how special is that?
So the first part, as far as prep work goes, right? Again, I'm a play-by-play commentary. So public address announcing was really different for me because I couldn't dive in the way I'm used to and calling the play-by-play. But what I did was, and I was real serious about it when I said it in the post-game interview, Matt Pittman told me that E. Fonzarelli, a.k.a. E. 40, a.k.a.
40 water.
Hey, Earl Stevens, you know what I'm saying? Holy water, you know what I'm saying? Sprinkle me, man. Would be sitting to my right from where I was sitting at the table. And so I looked over there, and I'm a huge E-40 fan. E-40 is in my top 5 all-time rappers, period. Hands down, you know. And so I looked over to the right, and I imagined him sitting there, you know, with the glasses on and the hat on, right? And all I kept hearing was, ooh. And I'm like, okay, I found E-40, so I found my voice, right? And then I had to second get used to listening to the sound of my voice in the Chase Center, right? As far as pregame intros and nicknames and stuff like that, I did that right on the swing. That was right off the top of the head, all improv, right? I knew Steph's nickname was the Babyface Assassin. I'd been calling him that from sitting on my bunk in a cell watching Warrior games at San Quentin when I do play-by-play in my cell just, you know, for my own edification. Standing there next to the Babyface Assassin, you know, the deadliest shooter in the game, right? And I'm putting him above Kyrie Irving and what's the guy's name?
Anybody else.
Yeah, everybody else. Steph Curry is the deadliest one, man. He's the Babyface Assassin for real. And to be standing there next to him at first, because I never really got caught up in basketball players. Even when Draymond and Kevin Durant and, you know, Coach Jackson and Coach Kerr and Scalabrine, all those guys come inside at San Quentin, I really didn't pay too much attention to him because in my mind I got a job to do, which is to do play-by-play. And I can't get caught up in who I'm doing play-by-play for. But this was the first time I had a moment where I wasn't doing play-by-play, where I understood who was standing next to me, who was standing right to my right. You know, arguably the most popular player in the game, arguably the most notable face on the planet, arguably the most deadliest shooter in NBA history. And that's putting him up there with Dale Ellis, Reggie Miller, my boy Jesus Shuttlesworth, a.k.a. Ray Allen. You know, that's putting him up there. And for a moment, I let it get in. You know, I took in the moment for a minute, and that's when I got a little nervous. I was like, man, the Babyface Assassin is standing right next to me in a post-game interview, and he's handing me the mic.
Showtime.
I got the game ball right here in the bed with me right now, too. I slept with that last night when I got back home. I put that game ball right next to my pillow, rolled over, balled up with it, everything.
Hey, as well you should, because Showtime, I mean, you got a fan in me, and all of us love your story. You're 48 hours removed, I don't want to speak for you, for arguably the best day, one of the best days of your life. And where I'm going is, has that sunk in? What's different? And also, Showtime, I feel like a team is going to come calling, whether it be college, pro. Is that a dream of yours?
Well, I'll answer the last part first. NBA, WNBA, NCAA, the Chinese Basketball Association, I don't care where it's at. I want to do play-by-play in a league. You know I'm good enough to do it. Respectfully and humbly, I'm better than most of the dudes out there.
Wow.
I want to work. You know, I didn't go to no communications class to learn this stuff. You know, I learned it in a place where it was hella violent for the first 11 years of my life in there. You know, and I was able to do play-by-play and bring peace, you know, and create basketball leagues that brought peace by doing what I do and making it to San Quentin and then doing play-by-play for the Golden State Warriors coaching staff when they came in and to be noticed by them. Even so much so that Mark Jackson came to me one day in the first game they played and told me, hey, man, I know some dudes at ESPN that would be worried about their job if they heard you. And, you know, you can take it with a grain of salt, but respectfully and humbly, I think I'm better than most of the people that's out there. And so I do want to work in one of the leagues. With that being said, Saturday night was the pinnacle of anything I've ever done. You know, when I came into the Chase Center, I came in and I had every person that I ever called play-by-play for in my heart. I had millions of people who are still involved in the judicial system in my heart. I brought the victims and survivors of those people who had been harmed in there with me. I brought all of that in there with me so I could really understand and feel the weight of the moment and also be humbled by the moment, as well as take a few moments for myself to enjoy it. So, yeah, it's 48 hours away. My phone's been blowing up like crazy. I got people wanting me to come on their TV shows. Obviously, I'm on 95.7 The Game, a station I listened to very, very much while I was in San Quentin. I got a lot of my sports news from you guys and also from some other stations that I won't mention because I don't want y'all to beat me up when the next time you see me.
Yeah, don't do that.
I don't want to be beat up by nobody. But, yeah, it just, you know, I brought a lot into that with me, so I'm still going over it. You know, I'm still feeling it. It hasn't ended yet.
Enjoy it, man.
Aaron, great stuff. Yeah, enjoy it. It's a feel-good story. You were exceptional on Saturday night, man, and we really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Thank you so much.
Man, I appreciate y'all even calling me on, man, because respectfully, like I said, I ain't nothing, man. I'm just a dude, man.
Well, this is the beginning of a career. I mean, Saturday night was the start of what's going to be the rest of your life, I have a feeling. And we'll be looking you up again with your personality and your skills. I think we're all going to be hearing footsteps, much like Bob Fitzgerald and Tim Roy are.
You know, I heard that, and I'm not going to speak on that. You know, all I say is, My preference, if I have a preference, I have five teams that I would love to work for in the league. All four California teams, automatically,
because
that's where I'm from. I want to give back to my community, right? But the fifth team holds the man who brought the people in who filmed Cue Ball, and that would be the Brooklyn Nets, right? Doesn't have anything to do with their playoff position or anything. It's just that he came in and saw what we were doing, and I would love to pay back by doing play-by-play if the California teams don't want me. But definitely any team in the league, I'm open. Call me up, you know. I got a manager, and I'm about to change a few things around. But call me up, man. I'm ready to work, man. And it'll be a humbling, and it's pleasure. It's appreciation. It's an honor. Whatever it is, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to give my 100% to whoever hires me. They can be guaranteed of that. You're going to get showtime every time I show up.
Aaron, thanks a lot. We really appreciate
Thank you,
it.
Man.
Take care.
Thanks for having me on, man. Good morning, y'all.
All right, Aaron Showtime Taylor joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Let's give away some money. All right, time for the Splash for Cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word LAUNCH to 72881. That's LAUNCH to 72881. Brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware, Patio Garden, and more at Osh.com. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. All right, great stuff there. We'll react to that interview and also continue the conversation regarding James Wiseman and his injury. 888-957-9570. It's Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs featuring Sean.
That's a problem.
Dickinson.
Rolling along here on a Monday. JD for Steiny, Daryl the Guru Johnson, Dan Dibley, as we're here until 2 o'clock, as always. 888-957-9570, continuing to react to the news over the weekend regarding the Golden State Warriors. Tough break for James Wiseman with the torn meniscus, so he is going to be out for some time. The exact timing on that, Goo, still be to be determined, but this is just another difficult point for the rookie in his first campaign, where just as he's starting to get on a little bit of a roll, it's snatched away from him. This is really the fourth or the fifth time that it's taken on that note, Goo.
Yeah, and you hate to see it. And guys, I'm just fixated on the other shoe to drop, Dibs. Like, is it going to be surgery? Will he be able to resume those activities come summer league and get, you know, adding that bulk to his body? Because I've been saying and embarking it all year, he needs to get stronger. And the worst case scenario for me is here, if this impedes that to where he just has to sit and let, you know, that knee heal, then this could be a lost offseason to a degree.
Yeah, and it's going to heal, and at some point he'll be able to get back to doing some of the training work that Kalana talked about, you know, developing more muscle around the joints, and certainly that's something that all players go through. And I think about Steph Curry, JD, as it pertains to his early ankle issues in his career. He was able to get to a point where physically he got stronger, and now the ankle issues that really beleaguered him early in his career, they went away in large part because he built up the muscles around the ankle and in the lower leg. And ultimately, when you have a knee issue, it's about the quad, the hamstring, and the calf being able to develop the muscles around the knee. And also the second piece that Kalena mentioned in his assessment of Wiseman is learning how to attack the rim and learning how to land the correct way. And, you know, if you're James Wiseman coming out of high school, there's nobody who is challenging you at the rim as a 7-foot senior in high school. And even in his brief stint in college, he's able to overpower most people. But now you're going up against grown men in a grown men league, so it becomes tougher.
It does become tougher. And I think, you know, there's a lot to unpack with respect to this injury, right? It's the immediate setback for Wiseman in his rookie year. That's one thing. It's his, you know, value as a trade asset, which was going to be a part of the conversation this offseason as the Warriors attempt to decide whether they want to keep it rolling, Goo, with Wiseman, or whether they need to make some kind of a bold move with respect to him and maybe the Minnesota pick, their own draft pick. The Warriors are going to be at a crossroads this offseason. So how does this injury impact his value? And then there's also the short-term conversation about how does it impact this basketball team now as they attempt to sneak into the play-in tournament with 19 games to go. So all of those things are on the table, and it's tricky for this Warriors team. Which one to you? You know, what are kind of the answers for you, Goo, as far as all of that?
It's through Joe Lacob's eyes, and that's initially what I thought after I knew Wiseman was going to be okay. He'll be back on an NBA hardwood, but Dibs, Friday, you, me, and Steiny, we had a deep, sobering conversation about the Warriors only have one route to go if they want to shock the world And the biggest chip they had just got hurt Saturday night, you know. And if you put that, you know, Wiseman, if you chose to do that along with that mini pick, you were going to get you an Orca back. And now, to me, I just don't believe any other GM or NBA executive or owner would look at any player coming off an injury saying, hey, I don't need to see how he is before I make that transaction. So to answer your question, JD, from an organizational standpoint, I think it hurts the most because now he's not that chip that he once was, Dibs, if you decided to go that route.
And I don't know if that's a route that you would want to go or be able to go because of what you say. And, you know, if a team like Golden State is so quick to move off of James Wiseman at 20 years of age, how much value would he have on the open market? It's not like this is an organization that makes mistake after mistake. And so you would say, okay, if they're giving up on him, maybe they don't know what they're doing. This is a team that's shown that they kind of know what they're doing as it pertains to personnel moves. Now, James Wiseman, he may not ever become worthy of the number two overall selection, but time will tell that. And if a team like the Warriors would, quote, give up on him so quick, I don't think that you'd be able to get fair value for him in the offseason.
Let's grade out James Wiseman's season because it in all likelihood is over. I know the Warriors have not come out and officially stated that, but if his season is in fact over with this torn meniscus injury, it was trending in the right direction as it has been a couple of different times, Goo. But if you know, Goo, you're handing out the grades, you're getting the red pen out. If James Wiseman's season ended on Saturday night, how do you evaluate it?
Wow, that's a great question. And a big part of my metric, Dibs, is the best ability is availability. So I'm using that in this grade that I get out. And this is the grade in red ink. It's a C minus. And it's a C minus because I would have took an A or a B if I would have thought you were further along defensively. If I thought you were stronger, which we all know that he needs to go and do, Dibs. And the fact that you weren't finishing games, there were times that you showed the flashes, last few games as an example, but there were more times to where you were like, depending on who you were, did we get it right? And that kind of got, you know, ripped out from underneath us. So my grade, with all that being said, fellas, is a solid C minus.
Nah, it's a D, Goo, and I appreciate you.
It's my grade. Them...
No, yeah, you give him a C minus. I give him a D. Hashtag D's get degrees for those of us who spent 13 years in college and gutted out many a D.
13.
Captain of the D plus, by the way.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, captain of the D plus. Couldn't quite get to that C minus level, but unfortunately for Wiseman, it's a D. And it's, you know, D for development. It's not an F. He doesn't get a straight F. And I think that had he finished out the year, he would have been up to that C minus level for me because he was showing you improvement. But you had the early COVID, which cost him some games early in the year. You had the missed tests, which he missed a couple of them. That, to me, shows a lack of maturity. And, you know, 19 years of age at the time, okay, it's to be expected. But that, to me, was an F when you had those situations. Defensively and from just an overall plus-minus situation, when he's on the floor, you're a worse team. And we've seen it in the per 100 possessions stats where, you know, offensively and defensively, you're hurt by that. So the recent run, he had a couple of good stretches. He flashed, as JD would say. But to me, the negative outweighs the positive. So I'm giving him a D, JD.
888-957-9570. Go ahead, Goo.
No, I was just gonna say we're waiting on your grade.
I'm gonna take the chalk, and I'm gonna call it an incomplete. I mean, it's an incomplete.
I do like it because it's really a grade. But
it's an incomplete. I don't think he deserves a non-passing grade necessarily because I mean this injury specifically is beyond his control, and so I mean I think Dibs, to your point, he was right. You're right. He was trending in the direction of probably going to be a C if he had been able to finish the year. But Gooey was unable to finish the year. So I don't know what to make of it overall. Now we're going to get into this, you know, waiting game of, you know, how does he rehab and how does he recover? And all eyes are on the summer league. And that's the part for me. For, you know, you guys can give me hell for calling it an incomplete. That's fine. But the part
I kind of like
me that's, that sucks the most about this is the fact that all of the attention as far as, you know, what's he going to be? Is he a disappointment? Is he not? All of that now shifts to training camp, basically, in October, and it adds more pressure. He could have knocked a lot of that away if he had had a good finish. So him being unable to get that finish, it sets up the beginning of next year in an unsavory way, Goo.
Yeah, I get you giving him an incomplete, but to me it's SOFT soft, because ultimately injuries are a part of everybody's season. Now, if you want to give Klay Thompson a grade this year, you give Klay Thompson an incomplete because he didn't appear. But Wiseman, the injuries are a part of his season. The earlier injury, this injury, the COVID situation, that's all part of it in totality. You have to look at the season, and at the end of this year, it's not incomplete. It's a complete season of frustration and some disappointment, which is why I actually gave him a grade.
Now, I like that. Let JD, I'm coming with, I feel like a fastball right now. I'm in my windup. I'm working with two smart men, and here I go. There's two sides to every coin. I'm wondering if James Wiseman is looking at the organization saying they left some meat on the bone in regard to how they toyed around with him. I'm starting, I'm not starting. The suspension, maybe you could have looked the other way. And where I'm going, JD, most of the times, Wiseman will never win the plus minus. So I'm just wondering, was it upon the Warriors coaching staff to say, you know what? We know what this kid does and what he doesn't do well right now. We could put him in the best position. And I'm wondering, Dibs, if we were to ask him what he would say about the C-minus and D-plus and incomplete that we gave him, because he may have said, you know what, you knew what I was, but you couldn't put me in a situation to where you got the best out of me. So to hell with that plus-minus that a lot of people call your show, you and Covey, talking about how bad he is rather than actually watching the game, JD.
Yeah, he's been up and down when he's played. It was trending in the right direction. As far as the organization, Dibs, I mean, that's a completely different conversation. I mean, we can assess how the organization has handled things, but again, that's the bummer for the timing of this injury specifically. It's the fact that it appeared as if the organization had finally found the right note with him. He's in the starting lineup, but they've simplified the game for him a little bit, and they were helping him maybe develop some positive momentum toward the end of this season. And it was also, Dibs, in the context of being able to help the team start to win games.
Right. And, you know, even though he wasn't in the finishing lineup, his minutes were up and they were playing well, and it looked like there was more comfort. James Wiseman's comfortability had been going up, not soaring, but incrementally he was looking more confident, more comfortable, and ultimately it was a very confident, aggressive play when he got hurt. He goes off the screen roll, takes it hard to the cup. That was a move that showed, you know, he didn't shy away from it. He didn't try to go with a teardrop. He attacked it, and so it's frustrating that it ends in that fashion, but ultimately his race is not yet run for the entirety of his career. He's just 20. Hopefully he can get stronger and be ready, like you said, for August, if in fact he's out for the rest of the year.
Let's get to Steve in Fairfield. Steve is up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys, couple things. First of all, that Wizards game was one of the most frustrating games I've ever experienced, and I've been a fan for 50 years. I think the main part of it that really got me is if you listen to live broadcast, Fitz is kind of explaining to Azubuike how it's going to go down with 15 seconds left. He goes, look, you got the best free throw shooter in the game. He goes, Steve Kerr is going to foul here. It's going to happen. And Azubuike goes, oh, really? He goes, oh, yeah, it's the math. He goes, it's actually going to happen. And for it not to happen there just was so frustrating, I couldn't sleep for a night. But just briefly on Wiseman, I give Wiseman a solid B to a B-minus based on the fact that he was 19 years old coming in, based on the fact that he had no training camp, no summer league, was taken out of the starting lineup when he shouldn't have been taken out of the starting lineup by Steve Kerr, in my opinion. He needs a lot of improvement on defense. But, Guru, you mentioned that it's going to be interesting to see what happens if the team has success, what's going to happen. Well, if you believe what Steve Kerr said, and Steve Kerr said it on several occasions, most recently on Damon Ratto and Kolsky, they asked him when Wiseman was out last time, hey, the small ball seems to really be working. What do you think about that? He goes, no, not for us. He goes, I want to develop Wiseman because I know in the playoffs, in the playoffs, when this team gets to the playoffs, the game slows down and we need our big. So they're all in on Wiseman. I truly believe it.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Goo, I'll let you react to that, and then I want to make a point about the Wizards game specifically.
Yeah, in the playoffs, I thought we would, as crazy as this sounds, we would get the best version of Wiseman. Like, you know, just him being 7-1 Dibs in that half court set, that's when we'd be like, oh, okay, we got something before you even do anything. And to not have that, you could be a hornet's nest could be awaiting. That's where I'm going. They're going to miss him once the offs come if they get there.
Yeah, and look, as far as the Wizards game goes, all due respect to Fitz, nobody fouls up three with 19.5 seconds to go. It just doesn't happen. Steve Kerr explained it. Tom on the radio call explained it to Tim in the moment. If we're talking 7-8 seconds and they're bringing the ball up full court, hell, even 10 seconds at that point, yes, you're playing the foul game. Nobody, you D up, and the Warriors did D up, and Russell Westbrook clanked a three that just happened to go to Bradley Beal in a slot where the timing was off for Andrew Wiggins, and he committed an abominable foul in that situation, Dibs, something that can't happen at this level. But as far as fouling, 19.5, get out of here with that.
Yeah. Agreed. Up two is a different story. Up three, you're not going to try to put them on the line, give them an opportunity to score without any time coming off the clock. And, you know, the bottom line for that game is it never should have been that close. You know, you let Washington hang around and hang around.
And, yeah. I'm sorry. It was the first time they were walking. Dead men walking.
Right. And that's especially appalling when you look at where they are in the season and in the schedule, where you've got four games that – four of your five look to be very winnable, and you come out and you don't have the effort there against Washington and you gack it away late. That's one that leaves a bad taste in your mouth, especially with Denver coming in tonight. And you know that's a tough one. And then you got a two-game road trip, and, you know, road games, no matter who you play, never easy.
Hey, guys, go ahead, JD. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just saying, now you got to try to get it back against a better team without Oubre and now without Wiseman, to try and get back to 500. The goal was get back to 500 by going 4-1 in that stretch of five, and now you can't do that unless you somehow win tonight.
And not to be negative Norman here, but I'm just looking at Oubre in that fall. I got the game on here. I'm just curious how soon he can get back. How he didn't break his wrist, one. How there's not internal bleeding. That was a savage of a fall, and he's done it twice. Once we didn't see in practice, but I got to say this because Draymond's a friend of the show, Dibs and JD.
Yeah.
Were you two going to bring up the air ball five-footer? I mean, Dre, if you're listening, I love you, dog. But the air ball on the five-footer floater, Dibs, I hadn't seen it. What happened? I think Fitz said wide right. Wide left.
Yeah. You know, it's as a guy who shot about 14 air balls and a loss to Lorenzo Neal on that very basket, sometimes that cup can look pretty small. It looks like a thimble at times.
Go to hell, Dibs. Oh, that hurt me, JD. You can't air ball the floater, Trey. Come on.
No, and look, I mean, that game, the Warriors haven't had a lot of games like that where with Steph, they've had some losses where they've been up against some bad teams and let the game get away from them late. This game falls in that category, but it's almost in its own category. This is a game going in where, to me, you lost the Wizards game off the jump. You lost the Wizards game because you disrespected them and you thought you could just show up at 7-10 at center court and you were going to be granted a victory for walking into the building. And I think maybe the Knicks game in January is the only other one really that comes to mind along those lines, although the Knicks are a better team now than maybe we would have given them credit for at that point. But Dibs, I mean, the Wizards game, I mean, that's as bad a loss given the circumstances as the Warriors have had at any point this year.
Yeah, up in 10 minutes when we take a look at last night in our league, JD, we will talk about the ramifications of that defeat as it pertains to the standings and where you are in the play-in scenario, because you're right. I mean, the Knicks turned out to be better than we thought, so you can forgive it, but Washington comes in without much hope of anything, and you're a team that was looking to make a run. Goo's always talking about, you know, they're going to go on a run.
Oh, I thought
it
was
going to go on a run. And yeah, and it should have started with the Washington game, but JD, you're right. You came out flat, and you never were able to get up on a team where and put away a team that you should have been able to beat by 15.
And can I add, JD and Dibs, what bothered me about that Wizard game is, had you told me they would have knocked off the Warriors, I would have said, who scored 50? Who scored 40? Oh, did Russ and Beal both get it? No, it was the others that beat you. Those two dudes outside of Beal's big shot, JD and Dibs, that was disheartening to me. It was like you were so not ready to go that the other, I don't want to call them scrubs, they're in the league, but the other guys beat you. And that's what just made it maddening. Lopez? Robin Lopez? When did he turn into Shaq?
Yeah, Robin Lopez having his way. I mean, it was, you look
Hachimura at Hachimura. With 22, yeah.
Yeah, early. I mean, he had a career night in the first quarter against the Warriors.
He was trying to post Draymond. Yeah, he wasn't scared.
I mean, it's just one of the poor Dibs efforts of the season, considering the circumstances. And that's the kind of game now where, you know, sure, tonight's going to be a difficult game, but you just forget about, you know, any of these games. You start talking about, oh, three against the Pelicans and Sacramento, yeah, and you got one more against Minnesota. Like, even with Curry now, there isn't going to be any game where I'm going to look at it and be like, oh, the Warriors are definitely going to win that game. Hell, it had me wondering about the Houston game going into it, and that game even at times was closer, it felt like, than maybe it needed to be or should have been.
Yeah, and you look at the upcoming road trip where you take on the Thunder and you take on the Cavs, both teams below 400. Those are games that you would normally, we're going to, you know, take care of both of these. Well, now all bets are off in all these games because Washington able to jump up and bite you, and they had a 360 winning percentage at the time. So you guys, you're right, and maybe this is a wake-up call to the Warriors themselves to where you got to be able to play better. And you hate to lose a game where Wiseman plays so well. You know, 9 of 11 from the floor, he gave you 18, and you lose that game. That's what stings a little bit more.
Yeah, it's a stinger, and it's now, you know, look, Jamal Murray hasn't been playing for Denver, but they've got Jokic, and the Nuggets have been as hot over the last 6-7 weeks, Goo, as the Warriors have been cold. So, you know, you got to think the gut punch of losing Wiseman, too, is going to maybe impact things here until the Warriors
Oubre.
Get straight.
Yeah.
They, you know, not having Oubre is something that big-time hurts you against this Denver team, so they're going to have to collect themselves. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but they're going to have to collect themselves and try and continue to push forward. So we'll keep this conversation going, guys. 888-957-9570. A lot of things on the table. Give us your grade for James Wiseman's rookie campaign if he has played his final game of the 2021 season. What has to happen moving forward for him? That's all coming up. And it's brought to you by Workman Law. Workman Law is a woman-owned, woman-managed law firm representing the rights of working men and women throughout California. Robin Workman can answer your questions about your employment rights. Call her for a free chat, 844-99-WORKMAN, 844-99-WORKMAN.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring Sean.
That's a problem.
Dickinson.
Having a good time here on a Monday until 2 o'clock. 888-957-9570. More phone calls coming up here as we talk about the James Wiseman injury. Warriors also taking on the Nuggets tonight, right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors live at 5:30. It'll be me and Ryan Covey for that, and then the Warriors and the Nuggets coming your way tonight right here on 95.7 The Game at 7 o'clock. Dibs, I know you guys do this typically at 10:48, but we had the great conversation with not only Kalena Azubuike but also Aaron Showtime Taylor, so we bumped our recap of the evening in our league to now. So, Dibs, take it away, brother.
Oh, and you wait for the Timberlake JD, and away we go. As I do my guru doing Howard Cosell, which is
or Lo
Neal. It's a two-way impersonation. As we take a look at last night in our league, we start with the first headline, JD. The Celtics corral the Nuggets.
2 for 17. Oh, a shot. Great job by Jason Tatum.
Nice job, Tatum. That's from NBC Sports Boston, 105-87. Boston outscoring Denver 31-8, Goo, in the fourth quarter.
That was incredible because I gave Denver their flowers. I thought they won, and I was hoping they would come in sleepwalking and the Warriors could get them, JD. But the fact that Jokic was away from his team during a timeout, I don't know if you saw it, but the optics were bad. I just think they're going to come in wanting to kick some ass, and now there's no Wiseman or Oubre. I don't know. I don't like the Warrior chances tonight.
Yeah, kind of a weird deal when you look at the way that Denver's season has gone. Got off to a rough start and, you know, looked like they were going to be maybe one of the teams Dibs fighting for the play-in tournament. But they have just been red hot, 17 of the last 21, basically coinciding with when the Warriors season flipped, when the Dubs were 19-15. It's been two teams going in opposite directions.
That's a great uptick, nice. JD. Way to go, JD. Headline number two, the Pelicans control the Cavaliers.
Look how Dump is guarding Eric Bledsoe.
Zion right by him, all the way to the cup.
Wow.
He had Okoro on his back. Wow. It was a mismatch.
Bally Sports New Orleans with the call there. Zion Williamson, 38 points. And 9 boards, Goo, on 16 of 22. Don't look now. The Pelicans just one game back of the Warriors.
Yeah, and they did that with no Lonzo Ball. And, fellas, I had a neighbor that had the first half Pelicans, so they were losing to the lowly Cavs. But I don't like that they're getting momentum and the Warriors are, do I dare say, in transitional phase, man. I don't like it. I know the Dubs are going to make it, Dibs, but New Orleans, Zion is a problem.
I know, Dibs, we've got our Guru's Lock of the Day coming up at 1:20. I might have a borderline Lock of the Day. Pelicans got a big win last night. They take on Sacramento tonight at home, and the Kings have lost 6 in a row. I like Sacramento to hand the Pelicans a gutless Warriors are playing the Wizards kind of a loss tonight in New Orleans.
I love it. We're stacking picks here. Looking at a multi-team parlay as JD giving out locks. Game number three, the Spurs mock the Mavericks.
DeRozan with 5. DeRozan, 2. DeRozan hits it. Oh, mama. 0.5 remaining. DeMar DeRozan knocks it down.
For the win from Bally Sports Southwest, DeRozan with 33, San Antonio 9th, Goo with a nice win over Dallas.
Yeah, and I don't know what to make of Dallas, but I'll tell you this, they're 29-23, JD, 7th seed. San Antonio needed that game, they almost blew it, but I do like DeMar DeRozan. His mid-range game is second to none.
Yeah, rough night for the Warriors, really, with a lot of these teams that are right there with them. Warriors an opportunity. Still, I think, an outside chance to move to 8th. I think, you know, 7th is off the table at this point. But yeah, San Antonio had been really struggling of late, but that's a big get for them.
And another blow that could have been dealt is headline number 4, but a break for Golden State as the Pacers gobble the Grizzlies.
They give it to Caris LeVert. And everybody kind of spread is what it looked like they're trying to do.
Shot clock at 5. LeVert inside. Got it!
I'm telling you, he's made shots like that this season since he's been with the Pacers.
LeVert with 34. The sound courtesy Bally Sports Indiana. Memphis loses, Goo. They are still 8th and 2 games ahead of the Warriors.
Yeah, and they win every time I don't bet on them. they lose when I don't bet on them. But, JD, I won't say that's a bad loss. Indiana's a pretty good team. But I was shocked that they lost that game at home.
Yeah, Indiana's actually not, Dibs. They're under 500. I mean, the Grizzlies have been playing better. That's actually not a great loss, believe it or not. Indiana's one of those weird teams. They're talented, but they're not great. But they come up with some wins here and there. Like, that's a strange one for me.
Yeah, it helps the Warriors, though, with the Grizzlies having a little bit of a hiccup. It leads us to headline number 5 with the Clippers punking the Pistons.
Paul George gets his defender in his pocket. plays catch with Reggie. The seas part. Look out below. Wheels up for Paul George.
PG-13 with 32. The sound courtesy Bally Sports SoCal. The Clippers have won five straight, Goo. They're got a little bit of a roll going.
Yeah, and I'm on record. They're coming out of the West. I'm sorry, Spadoni. The injury thing over the Laker thing is not good. And
show
I texted JD last night and Colin Spadoni. Paul, PG-13's offensive repertoire is second to none. Mentally, I'll give you that. But they're a fun watch. Clippers, you better watch out.
Yeah, and Paul George, the story will be told on PG-13 in the playoffs, as it typically is. But, yeah, a low-stakes regular season game against the Pistons, that is tailor-made
had a great
for Paul
dunk,
George.
Yeah,
tailor-made.
Yeah, 32, but we'll see if he can do it in the offs. Game 6, our finale, the Trailblazers toppled by the Heat.
All of a sudden, this could be a much more competitive game. That's why you're seeing Eric Spoelstra leaving in Jimmy Butler and Bam, and he's got Tyler out there. He wants another couple minutes here of the Heat playing good basketball, and Iguodala giving it to him right there with the triple.
Third trade tonight.
Iguodala with the triple from Bally Sports Sun. Miami led by 18 after three quarters and coasted over the Blazers' goo.
Yeah, Portland's been a nice story, JD, but I'm starting to get vibes, and I don't know if they're bad vibes. Like, they could lose in the first round because some nights they look great and Dame is the guy, but Dame seems to be hampered by I don't know what, but for Miami to come slap them like they did in Portland is a bit of a shot.
Yeah, I like Portland's roster, but, yeah, they sure as heck could lose in the first round. I mean, they're the sixth seed, and they may end up dipping to seventh if Dallas continues on the trajectory that they've been on. I mean, that could be a play-in team. So, you know, they've spent a lot of money and made a lot of moves, Dibs, to try and be sixth. I actually think when you look at it from a Warriors point of view, the Blazers are a low-key template. They have some really good role players. I think role players the Warriors would die to have on their roster. I think the Warriors need to be looking at maybe trying to do some of the ancillary upgrades that team has been able to come up with.
Yeah, ancillary upgrades instead of seeking a star, like you said earlier, trying to improve that 6, 7, 8, and 9 on your roster, knowing that Klay coming back moves everyone down a notch. But that's a look, JD, at last night in our league.
Yeah, and it's here on Steiny, Guber, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. We're halfway through here on a Monday talking about the Golden State Warriors and their rough weekend as the Warriors lose to the Wizards on Friday night. And then Kelly Oubre Jr. goes down with the wrist injury. And James Wiseman going down with the torn meniscus coming off the game on Saturday. Went up for the dunk, landed awkwardly, and James Wiseman's season, while not officially over at this point, for all intents and purposes, guys, it sounds like James Wiseman and his season likely will be over, and it's a big-time disappointment because he had started to figure it out a little bit, and now, unfortunately, he's not going to be able to finish this thing and use it to propel himself into next year and also take a little bit of the pressure off of him. That's the part that I keep coming back to, Goo. It's the fact that there's going to be a lot of pressure on James Wiseman now, more than maybe there would have been had he been able to finish strong.
I don't know what to say to that. I mean, you guys could cite his age like some people do and basically insinuate layoff, but you were the number two pick in the draft, Dib, so this comes with it. So for me, I don't feel sorry for him. I don't think the Jackals or the people out there are going to think any differently. This is part of the business. You're 7-1. You came in to help, you know, open up and keep that window, that Steph Curry window open, and you didn't hit the ground running because you weren't strong enough. So I don't think that's going anywhere, and I hope, JD, you weren't meaning that the fact that he won't be playing, he could kind of – it would help him mentally.
Well, no, I think it's just the fact that because his year, and we gave our grades out, Dibs, and, you know, Guru, I mean, I gave him an incomplete, and what, Guru, you gave him a C-minus, Dibs,
yeah.
you gave him a D. I mean, that, those, if he had played these final 18, 19 games, I think we're all in agreement that those grades would have been on the uptick between now and the end of the season. But if they're just left as they are, I think that adds some pressure to Wiseman for next year. And as we've seen at times, I mean, he looks like somebody that's maybe lacking in a little bit of confidence, Dibs.
And that's where summer becomes so important. If, in fact, the knee and the meniscus is to the point where he can't return, because there's still enough time to where he could potentially come back if it's not a terrible meniscal injury. But let's just assume that he doesn't return this regular season or in the offs, however long they last. Well, August in the summer league is going to be huge for James Wiseman, even bigger than it would have been maybe 2 weeks ago when you still thought that he was going to summer league and he's going to get a chance to just play and get confident. Because for me, it's a number of different prongs for Wiseman's improvement. One is the off-court maturity of being 20 years old and learning to be a grown adult. That's what every 20-year-old goes through. Part of it is his physical development. Can he add 15 to 20 pounds over the next 3 to 6 months of muscle and bulk? And the third piece is, can he become a more confident basketball player? And that can only be done by playing. So it's him growing up as a person, which will happen naturally. Physical development, he's going to have to put in work in the weight room. And then the on-court part in August, JD, Summer League, that's going to be huge for James Wiseman.
It's all going to be a big deal here as you listen to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Station, the segment brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. Go ahead, Goo.
No, I was just going to – I know you two aren't doctors, and we're just assuming – let's just say that his offseason is not robbed of this injury. How hard is it to add bulk to a guy that big, that long, and that young, Dibs and JD? Have we seen it?